Welcome, everyone. Everyone listening on the radio. This is a regular assembly meeting. It is April 15th at 6 p.m. And I'll have the clerk call the meeting to order and call the roll. I'll call the meeting to order and the clerk call the roll.
Jay?
Here.
Bob?
Here.
Rob?
Here.
Donna?
Here.
Thomas?
Excused.
Mark?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Okay, we have six assembly members in the chambers. It's now time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, first item on the agenda was the Board of Equalization. And the assessor has satisfied all the appellants. There was 55 of them. So we don't have to do that part of the Board of Equalization. But there is one motion we need to make. There was four people that filed late for their senior tax exemption. So I'd entertain a motion to approve those late applications.
Second.
So move.
Okay.
I'll make a motion, recommended motion.
I think, well, we should make a motion with the names potentially. So that was the recommended motion. So, and then we'll go from there.
I'll make the motion.
Okay, the motion is then to approve the late filing of the four senior tax exemption applications of Vera Godema. Sorry if I mispronounced your name. Brian Poust, Harold Abbott, and Dane Rountree. So is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on this? Clerk, call the roll.
Mark?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, those late applications have been approved. And just so the assembly members know, Martin's on Skullis is on the zooming in. He's with the assessor. Is there any questions of Martin's on the assessment? I have one question for you, Mr. Onskullis. This is Mayor Jensen. So resolving these 55 appeals, overall, was there middle ground, or did the people get their reduced assessment, or how did that shake out?
Yes, thank you for the question. My name is Martin Sonskoulis, and I have Mike Renfro here as well. So it depends. There are quite a few appeals which values did not change. We talked with the property owners, explained why the values changed and the reasons, and discussed the property sales and how the state statutes regulate our work. A couple of properties Mike Renfro did inspection on, and I discussed over the phones when was provided pictures of some damage and things that have been depreciated over the time and that we had to consider when we assessed the property. So there was change for that. We had a couple land values that we also reviewed based on some inconsistencies with other lots. And those were the main couple things. And those are pretty common is really the condition, because we look at the properties from kind of like I like to say from the street view, and then in a couple of cases, if property owners there's just some things we don't see from the street view, and that's when it comes in the appeal process, and property owners can bring up all the issues that property has, and then we try to resolve and make adjustments from there.
Okay, thank you for your answer. Any other questions, Member Marsh?
Thank you. Mr. Onskullis, I do have a question. We received not an appeal, but a letter from a citizen who is concerned that her property tax values have gone up 46% in 2 years. My fear is that at some point it's going to be very difficult to maintain residence in Petersburg with the continued elevated property taxes. Do you see a trend where this might subside?
Well, there's a couple things. there's a couple of things that actually the borough and the city can do. There's things that on our end, we are not as flexible because we are regulated by the state statutes. We have to value properties based on what the market does, on market transactions, and we are not setting the value in the market. It's the buyer and seller. We're just following the market. So far, I think we are seeing that the market has hopefully reached the peak. The properties are, I like to say, if it's priced reasonably, it sells fast. If it's priced kind of out of line, then it doesn't sell as it maybe a couple of years ago, it would still sell. So that's kind of how we are basing our values, is based on the state statutes and the sales. On the borough, on the city end, you have kind of flexibility on working with the mill rate, adjusting the mill rate, which communities across Alaska are doing that. If the assessed values goes down, you can level out the fields and adjust on your end the mill rates.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you, Martins, for joining us this evening and answering those questions.
Thank you.
Okay, item 4 on the agenda is approval of minutes. I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the April 1st, 2024 assembly meeting.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, passes unanimously. Item 5, amendment and approval of the meeting agenda presented to us this evening. I'd entertain a motion to approve the agenda as presented, unless there are amendments.
So move to approve the agenda as is.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor? Aye.
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 Okay, we'll move forward with the agenda as presented. There are no public hearings this evening. That's item 6. Item 7, bid awards. There are no bid awards. Next item on the agenda is persons to be heard on items related to tonight's agenda. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak to this?
My name is Brock Snyder. I own Island Refrigeration. I'm very grateful for each one of you for just getting together with me last week just to go into more detail on my position, and for those who might be listening, just I got together with each of the assembly members just to voice the need that we have in our position and the company that I'm at, and then just to get a clear picture so that you guys could make the best decision you possibly could, knowing my position and the overall position of the community. So just regarding the price of the that piece of land on Dock Street, it doesn't have an address, but the appraised value was at $414,000, and I was asking for $325,000, which is, if you take the assessed value, which is $237,000, and the appraised value of $414,000, smack dab in the middle is what I offered, $325,000. And just kind of my thoughts with this are, that's a large sum of money, the appraisal, either way you look at it, any one of those. My overall goal in this endeavor is to be able to offer services to the fishermen that are reasonable. Like that's what we're our saying. Is we want the fleet to succeed, and my saying is that I want the fleet to succeed, and I want my crew to succeed. And so we're just doing everything we can. Right now, our prices are pretty high, but we're basically just breaking even, just barely. So that just gives you a picture of where the market is right now. And you know, inflation is insane right now, and everybody's trying to combat that in every way we can. And I basically have a sum of money that I'm going to be able to be lent from the bank. Part of that will pay for the land, and part of that will pay for a shop. And so whatever the remainder is what I'll have to pay for shock with. And I'm not asking for pity. I am just, it's going to be quite an endeavor to pay that off. And I'm just hoping that you could consider that medium price rather than the top price, just in the interest of helping us lower our prices. And that would help us succeed in our goal. And I was glad for just a little bit of input on just on the WECON sale. And it was brought to my attention that the full price for that was actually including the rent that was they were not going to be paying for the lease or the lease payment. And so that was forgiven. So that you there was like a bit of a what do you call it? Just decision to lower the price in light of that, just for their sake. And I just hope that in the if we zoom back and look at the overall picture of what's happening in our community, that we could see that if the service trades are going to succeed and continue here to support the fleet, there's going to need to be some sort of meet in the middle. Otherwise, there won't be no tradesman would be able to afford this. It's like I'm barely able to afford this. So just so that we can have a place and get going and drop our prices. That's my plan, is this, if I can get this price, I will immediately be able to drop my prices. And that's my goal. It's just like that's what everybody needs. Everybody's hurting right now. And but anyway, I just I'm glad I'm glad that each of you made the time to get together with me or talk with me last week, and so I could go into more detail. But for everybody listening and in our community, I want to make it very clear why I'm just asking for this $325,000 rather than the full appraised value. So that's all. So thank you.
Okay, thank you for your testimony, Mr. Snyder. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak on topics related to tonight's agenda? State your name and who you represent, please.
My name is Everett Bennett, and I represent Working Against Violence for Everyone. I'm the executive director currently. I just wanted to say thank you for recognizing April as Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and then also to remind people to wear teal on April 23rd, which is a Tuesday. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the little ribbon. Anyone else in the audience would like to testify? Clerk Thompson, is there anyone zooming in?
Gosh, where's my thing? I'll look. Thank
okay,
you.
Mr. Martin.
Hi, Bob Martin. I'm here for the Harbor Board. First, I'd like to say personally, I'm very favorably disposed towards Silent Refrigeration's acquisition of the property, but I just want to remind you, that, like Casey did a few weeks ago, that we haven't had a chance to iron out the things we were tasked with on the Harbor Board about the process and the marine industrial overlay. So I know you guys are pretty much up to speed as much as the Harbor Board. So just look out for the harbor's interests, since we haven't been able to move along as fast. And one of those things was proceeds go to the Harbor Enterprise Fund. We were leaning toward appraised rather than assessed value if there was not a bid process to get some market exposure that way to maximize the value to the harbor. And we're working on that marine industrial overlay, which we hope you'll support when that does materialize, to ensure that marine use, you know, long after Island Refrigeration maybe, or who knows what happens, decades go by, and the trend has been to revert to less than marine uses. So look out for the harbor interests, and thank you.
Thank you for your testimony this evening. Was there anyone zooming in, Clerk Thompson?
There is not anyone zooming in. May I make a quick comment about Mr. Martin's testimony? The resolution does contain a whereas that says the proceeds of the sale will go to the Harbor Enterprise Fund. And the contract of sale does say that if the Marine Overlay District goes into effect, that it will be applicable to that property, and it will also go on the quitclaim deed, so any future owner will also need to abide by the overlay district if that happens.
Okay, thank you for that information. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak on items related to tonight's agenda? Excuse me, seeing none, we'll move to item 9, and this is persons to be heard on items unrelated to tonight's agenda. So just please step to the podium, state your name and who you represent.
My name is Eleanor Candle, and I represent many of the students at BHS. I just got off the ferry at 7 o'clock this morning, and I'm running on about 4 hours of sleep right now. I almost fell asleep in two of my classes today, but I'm here right now because of something I love very much. You see, aside from being just a student, I'm also a member of the PHS music program. Being a part of this program has completely changed my life for the better. Every day, I show up to school knowing that it's worth it, because I'm in a group that cares about me, with a teacher who cares about me, with a community of other students like me who lift me up and every day encourage me to be a better person. This is a vital part of my life. And what scares me is it's in danger. Our schools lack funding. Even now, I can see the effects of not enough money taking place all around me. Teachers are leaving, programs are dying, and our school is powerless to stop this. The Petersburg School District is a very special place. We're set apart from other schools by our high rates of involvement in everything from sports to arts to student government. This is so important because, let's be honest, how many teenagers do you think wake up at the crack of dawn every morning to go to math class? No, our electives are what keep people going to school. They're what keep people caring. I can think of at least 20 students who go to school just for the shop class. So what's going to happen if we can't fund that shop class? School funding is a very serious problem. Without enough money, our school is forced to strip our students of all but the very minimum of their educations. All the things that make our lives beautiful, art, music, theater, gone. All the advanced classes that consistently give our school an edge in getting into college and finding fulfilling careers, those classes and those colleges that are such a source of pride for so many members of our community, that's gone. What is so much more important than our students? We're the doctors and the teachers and the leaders of tomorrow. What is it that's taking priority over our future in this state and in this community? Please, you have the power to help us. Please, please choose to use it. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony this evening. And you did just fine with very little sleep. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak on items unrelated to tonight's agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on to item 10, boards, commission, and committee reports. We have a Public Safety Advisory Board report and recommendation. They have provided a written report to the Assembly with recommendations regarding police department training and funding. And I don't think we will read that this evening, but it's on the agenda if anybody would like to see what the board recommends. And just, it'd be nice if they would, you know, come and give a report at the meeting. That would be beneficial for me. Item B under boards, commission, and committee reports, the Petersburg Indian Association. Petersburg Indian Association Tribal President Deborah O'Gara will introduce PIA's current council members and give a short presentation regarding PIA's current projects.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks. I was hoping to get here early enough to get those handed out. So, good evening, and thank you for allowing us all from the Petersburg Indian Association a few minutes on your agenda. My name is Dejuk Suk. My English name is Deborah O'Gara. I use she, her pronouns. I am Tlingit, Yupik, and Irish, and recently elected as the president of PIA. The purpose of our presentation tonight is to introduce our new council, of which we have several with us tonight, to provide a summary of a few of the contributions that PIA has made over the years that have benefited the entire community, and to firmly and formally strengthen the government-to-government relationship between the Petersburg Indian Association and the Petersburg Borough. So before we actually go into our presentation, what I'd like to do is have the council members who are here to just stand and briefly introduce themselves. Jeanette's already standing.
My name's Heather Kahn, treasurer.
And Brandon Ware, who is our newest council member, is in Texas attending his brother's wedding. And Jacqueline Idy is at home sick with children, or with sick children. I also want to introduce, although they have not yet started, our new tribal administrator, Everett Bennett, who will be starting work at the tribe on May 20th, so we're very happy about that. And we did our short bios just because you've got all our biographical information on our website, and we printed it out for you as well. A little brief, and it really is just a paragraph, introduction of the Petersburg Indian Association, which is located here on the lands of the Secaquan, where Tlingit people have lived and gathered and fished in what is today called Petersburg for hundreds of thousands of years. Today, our PIA citizens are indigenous peoples of many nations, many tribes, and many clans who reside here on this island. PIA is dedicated to our native community by promoting cultural values, education, and wellness while creating a sustainable and diverse economy, cultivating leadership, strengthening families, and respecting our environment. Today, Petersburg is a home to approximately 3,200 people, year-round residents, and a bit over 400 of those residents are enrolled citizens of Petersburg Indian Association. And I'm going to call on Heather to go through the slides, and we purposefully picked the projects that we've done over the last period of time that have benefited the entire community. These do not include all of the benefits that we have done that are specifically for tribal citizens.
All right, good evening. This is Heather Kahn. PIA is based on grants. So everything that we do is based on grants. Our purpose has been, I've been on the council since 2018, and our purpose has been, how can we become sustainable without grants? So one of the grants that we have is the transit grant, which Susan Harai is in charge of. She's the director of there. And she has worked with the borough, the Forest Service, and the state of Alaska to have a lot of projects that we have done to contribute to Petersburg. And so we're going to go over those projects. All right. One of the first ones that we had started taking pictures of, this isn't the first one, but in 2006, we went out to Greens Camp for $85,000, and we did the culvert out there. 2008, we contributed to the paving of Mitkoff Highway for $600,000. In 2009, Mitkoff Coastal Pathway, the handrail was $803,000, about. In 2009, we did the paving project up at Clinkett and Haida Housing, and we weren't part of the borough and the Clinkett and Haida Housing Authority for, it's my recollection that Clinkett and Haida did not purchase that land. The borough gave them that land. They built the infrastructure of that land. We came in, PIA, and we paved that land after everything was there. The lots were then divided up, and every other home was offered to Clinkett and Haida, and they offered those to their tribal citizens. Every other lot was also sold by the borough proper, by the borough. We also had a paving project on First Street and Dolphin in 2009. In 2012, First Street sidewalks, approximately $1 million. 2012, also the culvert replacement was $300,000. 2013, the North Nordic sidewalk reconstruction for a little over $370,000. From 2009 to 2015, we did a lot of sidewalk upgrades with ADA standards for $520,000. 2015 Hungry Point Boardwalk for $580,000. And then for many years, we put our money into Greens Camp, so $177,000. The City Creek Trail was $370,000 roughly, 2016. In 2017 and 18, we did a lot of brushing for $320,000. Our Mountain View Manor Boardwalk, which is beautiful, is, they're all beautiful, sorry, $200,000 in 2019. And then 2020, the popular transit service bus for our seniors and the physically disabled, that was $100,000. The 2021, the Howkin Sidewalk, $800,000+. In 2018 to 2023, we've been part of the Harvey Lake Cabin Foundation, just the design project. That's estimated about $15,000 right now for the design. For many years, we did road maintenance, which was $1.1 million. The PIA trail maintenance was $30,000 annually. It's the end of my day, you guys. And then the City Creek Trail Phase 2, the current contract is about $1 million. We recently just put stairs because it had separated, so we put stairs out there on the, I believe that's the Mountain View Manor, yeah. So all these projects right here on this slideshow are about $10,335,278. And so we are looking at some upcoming projects that we are tomorrow taking our seniors, our 2024 seniors, they're all heading over to Wrangell in a jet boat, and they are gonna be visiting Chief Shake's Tribal House, the petroglyphs and the museum in Wrangell and learning about the history there. We also in, I think it was 2022 is when Susan and Brenda Norheim had started talking about the Hootley project. And Hootley is, I believe, a Tlingit name for the LeConte Glacier. And they started building this project. And the idea is that we wanted to put signs out at Sandy Beach about our history. And the history, each sign was going to lead to a different piece of our history. And so up front by the children's playground facing Sandy Beach or facing the water is going to be the Hootley project. And it's going to be large signs that are posted that you could look out and see the view of the of Frederick Sound. Those signs are going to give the history, and there are some still some fish traps that you can see when you're taking walks out there, just barely. There's a little bit there. And then, of course, the petroglyphs. So we wanted to be able to tell the history of Sandy Beach and the history of the Tlingit and Haida people that came there. We are also working on signs that are going to go along the boardwalk that will present that history to us. So the signs themselves, we did with a local artist, Lisa Ceramic. She did watercolor-based signs. And the next three slides are as well. Also out at the playground at Sandy Beach, we are putting up a children's totem pole, and that will be done in June of 2024. It's almost done. It's done by, I forgot the man's name, but he's in Southeast Alaska. We're also working on a canoe that's going to be placed out there so that the kids can play in the canoe. We have a current contract for design and construction of Eagle's Roost Stairway. And we are just looking at a former NBA player, Chris Herron, as a guest speaker for our youth and community on drug prevention. And I believe we're going to have a partnership with the police department in that. We are, as I had stated, partnering with Tlingit and Haida Tidal Network, and we provided our lease, so we leased them a 2.5 gigahertz. I'm not familiar with all that technology. We gave them our license, so they are going to be bringing affordable broadband internet options for our whole community, for businesses and residents, for a very affordable price. And then our hope, this is what I had meant prior, is that we are going to partner with Tlingit and Haida Regional Housing Authority, PIA, and the borough, and we're hoping to build the second phase of the airport subdivision. I believe that's it for our slideshow. Our purpose, what we really wanted to bring to you is this information of what we have done for this community and the grants that we provide for projects that are in this community for all community members. We are different. Petersburg Indian Association is different from Tlingit and Haida. And we are different from the landless. So we are our own entity, where they are their own entities as well. In the past, the borough has come to PIA asking for support, letters of support. We had supported the Scow Bay project. We have recently come in to support the mines and to write a letter of support for the position that we are stating together as a community. And I believe that our presence is important. A lot of tribal presence is important, especially when we're looking at grants. And so we are hoping to continue this partnership and to be able to support one another in the future.
That's our principal of the year, too. We have a celebrity on the council. Again, thank you for the opportunity to present this, to present a little bit of what we've done and what we are hoping to do more of. Of course, we're always looking for new ways. We work with the government, we've worked with the schools, library, and other organizations in the community. One of our purposes here was to really solidify our government-to-government relationship with the borough, to strengthen that, because we think it's really important. It's important to Petersburg Indian Association, it's important to the Petersburg government, and it's important to the entire community. So probably the next biggest thing is our housing project, but we've got other things, of course, in the works that we're working on as well. So we're available if you have any questions or any issues that you want to talk to us about. Steve has my number. And we're getting ready to sit down with him about some other things.
Yeah, thank you very much for the wonderful presentation. Do you have a question, Mr.
Is it, Heather, is that Tommy Joseph, the carver? No, it wasn't him. Okay.
Okay, moving on the agenda. Item 11, consent agenda. There's one item there. I'd entertain a motion to approve that item. It's the Fierce Allegiance Development LLC lease renewal. Fierce Allegiance lease recently assigned by Ocean Beauty Seafoods of Lot 4A, Plat 94-5, May 24th, 1994, is up for renewal effective April 15th today at an annual rate of $1,644. I'd entertain a motion to approve that.
I make a motion to approve the renewed lease for Fierce Allegiance LLC for a renewal price of $1,644.
Second. Motion been made by Member Moore, seconded by Member Lynn. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Donna?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, time for the mayor's report. Fairly short this evening. I have a few things that I've added that weren't printed, but I'd like to make a proclamation and to highlight April as Sexual Assault Awareness Month and April 23rd, 2024 as Wear Teal Day to support the prevention of sexual assault. And the proclamation is listed, printed out in the packet. So if you'd like to read it, it's there. And wear teal on Tuesday, April 23rd. And we were handed out some little teal ribbons. Had a conversation with our Senator Stedman last week, and he told me they passed the capital budget, and there was three items in the capital budget for Petersburg. Banana Point was one, $200,000. The work float in the South Harbor was $200,000. And then one of Senator Stedman's favorite things is supporting gun ranges, and that's $30,000. So I asked Senator Stedman if he thought this would stay through the whole budget process, and you never know, but he was pretty optimistic. So, and I don't know if people are familiar with Lisa Falskow. She was the honorary consul to the Norwegian Embassy and also has other very important positions. She texted me, and I believe Harbor Master Wallen, but there's going to be an author in Petersburg June 23rd through July 9th, and he'll be at the library talking about his book that he's already written. It's called A Coat Dyed Black. It's about the Norwegian resistance during World War II. And Mr. Pugnetti, excuse me, will be in Petersburg that for that period of time. And his next book is going to be about fishing in the 60s. And he's trying to gather info on the fishing industry in Petersburg. So when I run into a older fishermen around town, I asked if they'd have time to visit with Mr. Pugnetti. excuse me, I think I mentioned this before. I'll be gone May 6th, and we'll try to Zoom in, but if I don't have good Wi-Fi, then it'd probably be better if Vice Mayor Marsh ran the meeting in the Assembly Chambers. It seemed to go smoother. And that is it for my mayor's report. There is no written manager's report today. So there I did it again. I cut myself out of the meeting. I think I've got it. Okay, so that brings us to unfinished business. Uh-oh, hang on a minute. I don't know why I do that every time. Back to the old style. I could figure it out by now, but okay. Unfinished business. This is ordinance 2024-05, an ordinance determining that property conveyed to the borough in a tax foreclosure proceeding shall not be retained for public purpose and shall hereafter be sold. This is the third and final reading. I'd entertain a motion to approve this ordinance in its third and final reading.
So moved.
Second.
Been made by Member Stan Gregor, seconded by Member Marsh. Discussion. Clerk, call the roll.
Rob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Ordinance 2024-06 passes unanimously in its third and final reading. Or 2024-05, excuse me.